WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper.
It's over. UConn is a machine. The Huskies will play for the national championship.
The game on TBS as UConn pulls away from Alabama late to advance to the national title game versus Purdue. UConn Huskies center Donovan Klingon.
My teammates, you know, put me in the best position. Coaches put me in the best position possible. And just trying to have an impact any way I can, and you know, just trying to win. You know, whatever I can do.
The final game is Monday night. It's now been 6 months of the war between Israel and Hamas. The United Nations says it's finally gained access to Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, recently attacked and rendered non-functioning by Israeli forces. The World Health Organization says numerous shallow graves and many partially buried bodies were found just outside the emergency department. The WHO's Dr. Ayala Saperbekov.
In the yard of the hospital are the graves of people who have died. Some of them are not yet even buried.
Correspondent Holly Williams is in the war zone.
At a funeral on Friday for seven members of the Revolutionary Guards killed in a suspected Israeli airstrike, Iran vowed to take revenge. And that's fueling fears that the Israel-Hamas war could widen into a regional conflict.
Back here, if you're in the path of a solar eclipse Monday, experts are warning to not look up unless you have special eyewear. Our Janet Shamlian is at one plant where they're made.
Inside this Memphis area plant, what's made here will be worn by tens of millions across the country as they gaze skyward Monday, eclipse glasses. John Jarrett runs American Paper Optics, the nation's largest producer of eclipse glasses.
So to make a pair of paper glasses, 3D glasses, or eclipse glasses, it's a five-step process.
The silver-black polymer film of eclipse glasses is 1,000 times stronger than even the darkest sunglasses.
The Republican National Committee says former President Donald Trump and his Republican allies raised $50 million Saturday night at a Palm Beach dinner for wealthy Republican donors. Hosted by hedge fund billionaire John Paulson, the guest list included the owners of the New York Jets and Budget Suites of America. CBS News campaign reporter Olivia Rinaldi is following.
In comparison to his 2016 campaign, 2020 campaign, these are a lot of the same donor class that are coming back to him that perhaps had maybe strayed away during the primary season, donate to DeSantis, donate to Haley. But it's a lot of billionaires. These are Wall Street folks who spend time up in New York, and then they head down to Palm Beach, and they're part of those circles.
Some paid $815,000 per person for the Florida reception and dinner. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin farmers who practice managed grazing to keep their soil healthy will have another chance for new federal funding. Mike Mohn has more.
The milk you drink or the beef you eat may have come from a farm that rotates its livestock in a certain way to establish a healthier landscape. The USDA has announced that $22 million is available for regional networks of farmers who offer peer-to-peer technical assistance on this practice. The approach involves raising and feeding livestock in a pasture and moving them regularly, allowing that section of land to recover. When federal funding was restored last year, Michael Fields Agricultural Institute's Margaret Crome says the demand was overwhelming.
It really wasn't a very long application period, and we still had a lot of applicants that couldn't get funded because there was just not enough money. And we anticipate that will happen again.
These waves of assistance come after a 15-year absence of federal funding for the Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative. The application deadline is May 26th. Some of the benefits linked with managed grazing include improved soil health and carbon sequestration. In northwestern Wisconsin, dairy farmer Kevin Mahalko has been doing managed grazing on his land for nearly 30 decades. He says it has allowed his operation to survive difficult stretches, including drought, and it keeps his expenses lower.
The cow is doing more of the work and using fencing instead of as much equipment. cuts down on a lot of repairs and maintenance and diesel fuel.
Crome says expanding these education networks can especially help beginning farmers as technology improves with things like electric fences for moving livestock. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see showers around the area for your Sunday. Breezy southeast winds will gust up over 30 miles per hour at times as highs top out in the upper 40s. Tonight, shower chances continue. It stays breezy. Overnight lows in the lower 40s. It's 39 at our studios.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
Hey, Cuddy, we to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
Hey, we discuss local and national Native news. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute and Make Voting a Tradition here in Minneapolis.
Hey, happy day after your birthday there, Chujonk.
Hey, thanks. Really appreciate that.
Right on, right on. You're 30? 20, 32?
Oh, gosh. No, not quite. We got a few more years until we get there, thankfully, though.
Right on. Just kidding. Happy birthday. We missed you. I want to give a big shout out to Wendy for sitting in for you like the old days. She did great. And it's Super Tuesday today, and we'll have Ruth Buffalo on in a little bit. And also, we got a couple other guests you want to tell our audience about real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have a very, very important message today. We're very excited to play this. We have an update here from Second Gentleman of the United States, Doug Emhoff, to talk about voting today and why it's so important specifically in the state of Minnesota.
Yes. Why don't we go to that right away, and then we'll talk about the rest of the show. So why don't we take a quick listen to our new close friend.
Native Roots Radio Network. Hello. This is Doug Emhoff, Second Gentleman of the United States. I wanted to reach out to let you know how important it is to vote in today's primary in Minnesota. The polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Go to iwillvote.com to find your polling place. Because you turned out to vote in 2020, we have made remarkable progress. Joe and Kamala have lowered prescription drug costs for seniors, including reducing the cost of insulin to just $35. We're investing more than $6.2 billion in Minnesota to rebuild roads and bridges and to remove lead pipes. I was just in Minnesota last week to announce a $20 million investment at the airport. We're creating jobs, including more than 200,000 jobs in Minnesota after losing 130,000 under Donald Trump. We've invested historic levels of funding in tribal communities, including $32 billion for healthcare, housing, and childcare, $3.5 billion for high-speed internet, more than $720 million to adapt to climate change, to mitigate drought, and to shift to clean energy production. We're also working to provide tribes with a greater role in the management of land and water that have cultural and natural resources of significance for their communities. There's so much at stake: democracy, freedom, our economy. It's all on the line. Remember, polls are open until 8 p.m. tonight. If you haven't voted yet, go to iwillvote.com to make sure your voice is heard.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, we really appreciate that and them reaching out for that short message. I will be going and doing my duty right after the show. I'm going to take a walk down to my voting place and cast a vote.
There you go. Yeah, I know a lot of people, myself, went out and voted. I know our friend Robert Lilligren of NACD, Native American Community Development Institute here. I saw that he was up probably the first one out there voting this morning. So that was very, very cool to see.
Yeah, I'm usually one of those too. And but today I had to run into Wisconsin and do my due diligence with my other job. And so that allows me to get up early, drive early, and then come home and do this great show across Turtle Island. We're so blessed to have this and have people like the Biden-Harris administration reach out to us and send us good words for our listeners. And that just shows how important our listeners are, and especially here in Minnesota, but also in Wisconsin, even though they don't have the Super Tuesday going on in Wisconsin. So that was important to get my new close friend, Doug's words out there, Haley.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it's just important, too, that they mentioned and that they're focused on the good things that are going into Indian country. I know they talked about housing and healthcare and childcare, which are some things that, you know, those resources are kind of very slim when it comes to being in Indian country.
Yeah, definitely. And just having a voice, I think this administration is so much better at that. And I know the second day Trump was president, he let Standing Rock happen and signed a bill, or not a bill, but a presidential order to let the oil flow right under the Missouri River and right through Standing Rock Reservation, which, you know, in the history of the show, Haley, we started the show because of what was happening at Standing Rock and the struggles out there and the lack of, you know, the national media talking about what was happening to our community. The four times that Wendy and I were out there, it was a big city.
And yeah,
there was during Thanksgiving week, Standing Rock, there was over 15,000 people there fighting for clean water.
Right. Yeah. And just Standing Rock seems like, you know, it's 7 years ago since you started this show, 7 years ago since all of the protesting happened out there. And just looking back at the pictures, it's like hard to, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget all of these big events, and you know, we attend so many things and we're, you know, trying to protest against things or for things, and that was a really big turnout, and thank God. Really, I mean, unfortunately, you know, Donald Trump kind of reversed that whole situation, right? But these are the things that we need to remember, like, we matter in numbers, and there's strength in numbers when we all come together. And I think we do that really well, kind of all around Turtle Island.
Yeah. And, you know, once we're clear to our goals and not fighting with each other, I think the Native Americans can do and pull off anything. And don't forget, too, our white allies that were there. They were from all over the country, and it was a thing of beauty, and I wanted to make sure that I made that because that was basically my wounded knee. Because of my age, I was not able to deal with the wounded knee protests, the 73-day protest in 1973. So I wanted to make sure I was there, and it was unbelievable. It really was. And all the tribes were representative, and all the tribal flags that were up and down the road was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And people from all over the country. And Our friends from Palestine were there too, and we have to remember that and say a prayer for them, because their genocide with what's happening to their native land is very similar to what happened to Native Americans here on Turtle Island.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're Native on Turtle Island, the differences are, you know, the similarities are just too close. And I think when we hear things and we're talking about Palestine, you know, I think it's always on my mind and it's always heavy on my heart every single day. But it's just so similar. And I think it could be a little triggering. And we just all know all too well about those same kind of struggles here in Turtle Island.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we got an awesome show. We got our friend Ruth Buffalo stopping in. So we started out with the vice president's husband, and now we're going to go to Ruth Buffalo here after this quick break, and we're going to talk about her new job and how excited we are here in the Twin Cities to have this this warrior show up and work with us in our community. It's just exciting, and I know there's an open house we're going to be talking to her about, but you know, we love Ruth Buffalo, and now she's a Minnesotan, and she's got to get that Minnesota accent down. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. We know too much about that accent. You know, I was just in D.C. and I had people comment on my accent and I didn't realize how strong it was. But
oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess it is.
Oh, geez. Yes.
Oh, geez.
You betcha. We'll be right back, you all. Oh, hi. We got a binder. Oh, there's all those. Minnesota. Okay. We'll be right back. Next, our friend Ruth Buffalo. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd and his regular guest, Trigvi Olson, were out and about with a simple theme. What makes Wisconsin great? For all the divisive topics and politics that we have on his show and on my show, we're doing that because we love living here. And we want to talk about the things that make Wisconsin great. And we did that over cheese curds and cold beer last night. Ooh. And I really appreciate Todd doing that.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have our friend Ruth Buffalo, our good friend Ruth Buffalo, former North Dakota state representative and current CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Welcome, Ruth.
Hi, Dosha, Madzagidads. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're so excited now that you're Minnesotan. We were just talking in the other segment that you're going to have to change your accent a little bit now. You're going to be saying all your words longer. But we're really excited that you're here in the Twin Cities, and we have a special event we want to talk about real quick.
Yes, the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is hosting a community meet and greet for me. So this is Thursday, I believe at 5:30 here at the MIWRC building.
It is at 5:30. So when, we were talking about doing a quick pre-record at the on Thursday and have a so we can run over there. Haley and I can run over there and welcome you to the Twin Cities. And you're no stranger to Minnesota. You'd lived here at one time.
I did. I lived here years ago before I had a family, and I worked at Division of Indian Work, or DIW, at the YLDP, the Youth Leadership Development Program. And I was actually looking at going to Metro State and going into social work.
Wow. That's crazy. And just your background a little bit. You played college basketball, right?
I did.
I want to hear about this a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that.
My husband and I both transferred to South Dakota. He played baseball there and I played basketball. And how we both landed in South Dakota was interesting too, because I was here, you know, for a year, a full year here in Minneapolis. I stayed off of Cedar Avenue, not far from where the home of Juicy Lucy's is. but we met in South Dakota, and how I landed in South Dakota too was from playing in a basketball tournament in Temecula, California. Back then, I think it was called the National Indian Athletic Association. And I believe like Ernie Stevens Jr. Used to lead that. I'm not sure if he still leads it. They have annual national tournaments across the country. And that year just happened to be in Temecula, California. We won the tournament. And one of my teammates from Standing Rock, she was headed to South Dakota and told the coaches about me. And then the coaches called and encouraged me to go down there to try out. So I remember driving down there in my mom's minivan with one of my younger sisters and tried out for the team. And then they, you know, offered me a basketball scholarship and finished there with a Bachelor's of Science in Criminal Justice.
Wow. That is amazing. I did not know that story, but I knew you played basketball because during COVID, when we were all doing the COVID Native American check-in on Sundays, the Sunday symposium, yeah, a lot of your friends from all over Turtle Island that you knew from basketball way back when.
Yes. Yep. And yeah, even actually why I left Minneapolis back then was because one of my cousin brothers, we're very close and we always knew we would see each other once a year at the National Indian Basketball Tournament. And he had unexpectedly passed away that March 3rd, actually. And then we were supposed to see each other in Oregon the following month because the tournaments were usually held in April. And then after being at DIW for a full year, my uncle, who is living down in Window Rock or Fort Defiance area, had asked me to move down there and help him take care of his grandson, who was 2 years old at the time. And so I, you know, without question, moved down there, took care and helped for a semester down in Fort Defiance. And then I had to come back to Minneapolis and work temp agencies to get my car out of the shop because I was supposed to drive down there. But a lady had hit two cars before mine and then got hung up on the back end of my little Cavalier on side street parking on Bloomington Avenue. I was visiting one of my friends. So ended up flying down there. And then after I finished, you know, helping my uncle and my nephew, came back to Minneapolis and had to work to get my car out of the shop and worked in temp agencies. And after that, as soon as I had enough money to get my car out of the shop, I headed back home and did a semester at Tribal College back home and then played in that tournament and then went to South Dakota.
So. Wow. These are things I knew nothing about. That's really exciting. And I got to tell you too, I had a Cavalier twice. So those were nice little running cars with a good mileage back in the day.
Yeah, for sure.
So Ruth, let's just bring it back to what are you hearing? A lot of people going to show up to the welcoming of Ruth Buffalo here on Thursday, the 7th of March at 5:30 in the evening, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, 2300 15th Avenue in Minneapolis.
Yes, hearing that there's going to be a good turnout, you know, we hope there's a good turnout. We'd love to visit and meet the community members. You know, this will not be the only time that I'll be able to engage with the community members, but I believe the team here at MIWRC and the search committee wanted to make sure the community had an opportunity to visit with me. I believe there's also a cedar ceremony happening here at the same time too. So there will definitely be a lot of people in this space this Thursday.
Well, that's exciting. And, you know, to get the job here, and I know this organization is well known in the state and has a lot of clout, and we're excited to have your leadership. What's the first thing you feel like you need to do?
Raise money. Yeah. You know, finding sustainable funding for the long haul, you know, building the programs back up to what they once were, and to continue partnering and working with and for the community is really important.
It very much so is. And I know there's a lot of different services. Can you touch on any of them? I know it's like your second day, so I'm grilling you here, but.
Yeah, no, definitely hit the ground running. Gosh, right now I know that they have downsized quite a bit, but the hope is to rebuild everything back up to what it once was, and of course to continue strengthening the existing partnerships across the community. And so I know for sure, you know, they have the drop-in center downstairs. They also have birthing, you know, women to help moms with traditional birthing. Also looking at more holistic, just a holistic approach rooted in our cultural values. So a lot of, I believe and feel that there's a lot of underlying within everything, it's rooted in healing, you know, without saying healing, but that's really, I believe, at the heart of a lot of the work here. So I'm really excited to help and to continue building what's been here within the community. But again, that long-term sustainable funding is so very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, you'll have trips to the Capitol and talk to our legislators. And I know you have a great relationship with, you know, Heather Keeler and Mary Knush. And so that'll be exciting. I'm looking at the Facebook here, and there's going to be a couple hundred people there. So I guess I'll have to wait my turn to ask you questions. There's going to be a lot of people there. That's awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You know, I was hoping that my family could join me, but we'll see. They're definitely going to try to be here with me for the meet and greet. And some of my close friends and sister friends from back home will also be in the area, because I believe AHEC, you know, some of the events are happening here in the Twin Cities. So looking forward to it, but excited to continue working with and for the community.
Well, we're excited to have you. And again, it's the meet and greet, Ruth Buffalo, Thursday at 5:30 to 7:30 at the Minnesota Indians Resource Center, and that's 2300 15th Avenue South. And we're really excited to have you as a Minnesotan again.
Thank you. Mazagidads. Yeah, it's still a little shocking, I think. You know, it wasn't. You know, yeah, so it's, you know, thankful to be back in the community for sure.
Yeah, and a supportive family. That is just awesome. You guys are all moving here. You know, and I like your husband even more now that I heard that he played college baseball. So baseball is my favorite sport. So maybe he and I can go to a Twins game when he moves up here.
Yes, for sure. He's a hat guy, and he's been perfecting his craft with embroidering hats and apparel. And he's looking to, you know, hopefully open a new barber shop here as well. So
right on. Thank you so much, Ruth, for stopping in. As always, now that you're Minnesota and you have an open door policy, you can come on anytime.
Mazagidads. Thank you.
All right. Wow, that was Ruth Buffalo, and we're really excited we're just excited, and we're excited that she was on tonight, and the meet and greet's going to be awesome. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back after this short break. Stay with us.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Ceasefire negotiations resume today between Israel and Hamas, 6 months to the day after the war started. The BBC's Sebastian Usher is in Jerusalem.
Publicly, Mr. Netanyahu still stays where he stands, saying that the military campaign, his belief is that its most effective way to free those hostages and two, the eradication of Hamas, is 100% not to be bargained away.
The weather forecast isn't so hot for tomorrow's total solar eclipse because of cloudy skies. Brian Hurley is with the National Weather Service.
Northern New England, northern Vermont, northern New Hampshire, and northern Maine, that path of totality also looks more optimal.
Tip-off is 3 p.m. Eastern time for the Women's College Basketball Championship. Iowa will battle South Carolina. Hawkeyes star Caitlin Clark.
We know we have our hands full. Everybody around the country knows South Carolina has been the team all year. They've deserved.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Brewers lose to the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers kept it close, but didn't score until the eighth. The final 5-3 in favor of the Mariners last night. Left-hander D.L. Hall got the start for Milwaukee. Manager Pat Murphy.
I was really pleased with D.L. I thought he threw the ball great. You know, there was five potential outs there. It's a great lineup over there. You know what I mean? Like, look at that lineup, one through whatever it is. That's a great lineup. I thought D.L. battled. A leadoff bunt is just a great execution by the kid. And then the blooper into left, you can't do anything about it. It happens. We get our share of bloopers, and then three strike ground balls that got through. Some of them were hit well, so, but still, he didn't panic.
NBA, the Bucks at home tonight against the New York Knicks. Milwaukee looking to break a three-game losing streak. Tuesday night, they host the first-place Boston Celtics. College basketball, Wisconsin's Bo Ryan has been elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Ryan coached collegiate basketball around the state for 32 years. Induction ceremonies coming up in August. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see showers around the area for your Sunday. Breezy southeast winds will gust up over 30 miles per hour at times as highs top out in the upper 40s. Tonight, shower chances continue. It stays breezy. Overnight lows in the lower 40s. Right now, it's 40.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. Matinaire on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matinaire on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad?
I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment.
We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okeezy, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, running now until April 13th in Minneapolis.
Hey, Haley, we got a guest here. We have COVID-19 short audio stories from the community members here in Minnesota. And joining us to discuss this project is Kristen Spargo. Welcome. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is exciting. And I know you and Haley have been shooting back emails back and forth. Haley, why don't you take over here and tell our audience what they're about to listen to?
Yeah, well, thank you, Kristen, for joining us today. Well, we have put out, Dega, Robert, we've put out a few COVID symposiums over the years. I know before you guys were doing them every Sunday, and we've been very grateful to have Dr. Stately of NAC here in Minneapolis join us to co-host our symposium stories about COVID-19 and what's going on in our American Indian communities here in Minnesota. And we've talked to people that we know about, experts across the field, some of our close friends, and our last one just came out the past two weekends. We had, of course, Dr. Stately. We had Ho-Chunk Citizen and your friend, Danielle DeLong.
Yes.
As well as one of our good friends, Barb Faber, who is really great in early childhood education for our Native kiddos. So if you haven't heard that or watched it, we have our live video on Facebook as well. That would be a really great resource. I know we talk about a lot of things, but Kristen is here to share a lot of some stories that they did. These are shorter stories, so less than 90 minutes, but there's some stories with community members and just kind of talking about their experiences, right, Kristen, with COVID and the different things that they struggled with.
So I partnered with the, I work with the Federally Qualified Urban Health Network, or FUN, and NAC is a member of this collaboration, as is Indian Health Board. And so we partnered with a group called Salamo Health and Wellness that is a community-based research organization that is out of Kuuk, if you're familiar with the Community University Health Center. And we did a kind of comprehensive project where we met with community leaders, learned what some of the issues and around COVID were in the community, talked about vaccine hesitancy. And then we, after we talked to community leaders, we then interviewed NAC patient families to learn about their personal stories and the impact of COVID. And we created a series of radio stories, and we're going to be listening to some of them today. And so they're based on the lived experiences of people in the local Native American community, pulled together by the team at Salamo with insight from the community leaders, as well as the community, the families in the community who shared their stories.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard them. I've heard a couple of them. They're really great. They're very well produced and just, I think, very raw. And I think a lot of us can relate to kind of these more emotional and personal stories. So I know this first one here is just under 5 minutes and it's titled Valerie and Her Daughter. Is there anything you want to open up this one for?
No, I don't think so. I think that they, I was able to be on the team where when they were recording them, and I just, it was just really wonderful to be in the room while the actors were sharing the, you know, their stories and their insights into the characters. So.
Great. Okay. Well, yeah, let's go. Let's dive right into this quick story titled Valerie and Her Daughter.
The content of the story you're about to hear is based on lived experiences of members of our community. It provides current information about the COVID-19 vaccines. See your doctor about your medical care and about getting the updated COVID-19 vaccine.
Valerie Gijic is a 52-year-old valued member of the Anishinaabe community. Her daughter Lisa, concerned about her mom's living in isolation up north and her well-being during the COVID pandemic, convinced her to move to the Twin Cities, close to family members. Valerie is overwhelmed with information and stories about COVID vaccine, and she wonders what is true. She cannot understand the benefits of getting the COVID vaccine.
COVID is a very serious disease.
It is just like the flu.
Everybody will get it.
The vaccine is effective in preventing serious illness.
You should not trust the government.
This is too much information. I'm not sure what to do. Should I get the vaccine?
As Valerie adjusted to life in the city, the topic of COVID-19 and vaccines continued to be in her mind and a point of conversation and concern among her family. Valerie has finally moved to the cities to congregate living near her daughter. She is surrounded by more people and taking public transportation to get to places. Her daughter's concerned about her mom getting COVID.
Mom, have you thought about getting COVID vaccine?
I use a mask and hand sanitizer. Maybe I don't need it. I am worried. Some people say it is safe and others say it has side effects.
I get it, Mom, but you're not young anymore. Doctors recommend the vaccine as a protection. Me and my brothers have already gotten it.
I don't know who to believe anymore. Some people say it's safe, but I don't trust the government.
Valerie was overwhelmed with stories she read about the vaccine, which reminded her about why we as Native Americans have strong historical reasons for not trusting government-led vaccination campaigns. Remember, the blanket.
What? Aunt Gladys got hospitalized? What is it?
She got COVID.
Was she vaccinated?
No.
Is she gonna be okay?
She's now in the ICU on a breathing machine. It doesn't look good for her.
The news of her aunt's hospitalization hits her very hard. The reality of COVID-19 has suddenly become very personal to Valerie. All the fond memories she shared with her auntie on the res flood in her mind. She turns to her daughter to share the news.
Hey, Lisa, did you know that Aunt Gladys is in the hospital with COVID?
No, really? Is she going to be okay? Was she vaccinated?
No, I don't think so. She thought it was just like a flu, but her condition deteriorated suddenly. I hope she pulls through.
I hope so, too. Aunt Lisa's situation is why you need to think about getting the vaccine. I love you so much, Mom.
Lisa went to the Native American clinic and asked her doctor for information about the COVID vaccine. She knew she needed to bring this information to her mom.
Mom, I talked to our family doctor the other day. She said that many relatives at the NAC clinic have your same concerns. She has given the vaccine to many people and has not seen anyone seriously harmed by the vaccine. She's seen the vaccine help them to avoid being in the hospital and help them survive the virus.
Is that the doctor that helped when my grandbaby Joey was very sick?
Yeah, she really cares about us.
Don't people get sick after the vaccine?
She said that some people have some mild side effects for a day or two.
Just mild? Maybe I should get the shot.
So when are you going to get the shot, Mom?
Valerie carefully considers the doctor's experience. She is grateful for her daughter's support and begins to understand why COVID vaccines are important to keep her and her family protected. She calls her daughter.
Lisa, I decided to get the shot.
I was wondering when you were going to change your mind.
Yeah, you know your mama so well.
I knew you would, especially now that Aunt Gladys is so sick. I'm very glad you did it.
The day of Valerie's vaccine appointment at the NAC clinic has finally arrived. With her decision made and her family's support, she was ready to make this important step in protecting herself and those she loves.
The creation of this story is a collaboration between the Federally Qualified Urban Health Network, Minnesota Department of Health, and Salamo Partnership for Health and Wellness, with funding from the Minnesota Department of Health COVID-19 Community Engagement and Diverse Media Grant.
Wow. That was awesome. It was,
right.
It's a theater of the mind. That was really well produced.
I loved the sound effects. It was really amazing. But, you know, I think all of us know someone, a relative or an elder, who has been, you know, resilient to get any type of vaccine. And you know, stories like these can hopefully help someone become a little bit more trusting, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I absolutely think so. And that's really part of the driving reason why we wanted to create these stories. We wanted to hear from people who were equally hesitant to get vaccinated and to showcase the importance of leaders like Dr. Stately and medical providers who assure people that the vaccine is safe and effective, and to just, you know, show the love and support of family members and the desire to protect the ones you love from the COVID and having serious complications.
Yeah, I love how we've all heard these stories before, but putting it down in a little audio story really makes it interesting, and it was produced really well, and we really enjoyed it. I wonder, do we have time to play another one, or should we wait until the next segment? Looks like we only got a couple minutes left in the segment, Haley.
Yeah, I think we can just wait on the second one here. Let's see what the second title is. We're going to hear from Rose's journey and her journey with COVID. And just to set this one up, so our character in this next short story is a woman who is a caretaker of vulnerable people and has a son who gets sick after the vaccine. So, you know, there are some concerns about the disease and concerns about the vaccine side effects and just how effective they are probably overall. But yeah, I think we could hold that one. But yeah, we have a lot more to go through, and I'm very excited. And hopefully, you know, it's always really cool to hear, you know, of people who are hearing stories and they're like, oh, I know them, or, you know, that's happened to me. And, you know, in this last story we hear from Valerie, who was moved on the reservation to be near her daughter and then had an unvaccinated aunt in the hospital, which is, you know, always hard to deal with living on a reservation and kind of just being, you know, away from the people you love. It's hard, so.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about the production? You know, where was this produced?
I would love to. So we partnered with KFAI, Fresh Air Radio, who was another grant recipient on this project. And then we gathered the voice actors. So I'll do a quick shout out to Josephine Lee, Kevin Smokey Day, Mo Mike, and Alan Dare Gross, who played the different characters. And my favorite moment was when they said, "You know your mama so well," and they laughed. It was a really fun moment. And it really shows in that production, I think.
Wow, awesome. Hey, we'll be right back, you know, and listen a little more and get the setup. Thank you so much, Kristen, for being here. This is the radio of the mind, or the theater of the mind is radio. And so let's listen to another one. We'll be right back.
Absolutely.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! That was a good howl. Hey, wow, Haley, we got an awesome guest here, and why don't you just fill everybody in here, and we're going to jump right into a segment and then talk a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, well, we have Kristen Spargo here with us, and we're just playing some of our community stories that they have gathered and put together from our Native communities here in Minnesota. And this next story that we're going to play is just over 6 minutes, but this is going to talk about Rose's journey and talking a little bit about getting COVID after the vaccine. So let's quickly take a listen.
The content of the story you're about to hear is based on lived experiences of members of our community. It provides current information about the COVID-19 vaccines. See your doctor about your medical care and about getting the updated COVID-19 vaccine.
Rose and her family are gathered in the living room listening to a local broadcast station on the latest COVID-19 news. They are concerned about how this pandemic has affected the community. They worry about their loved ones being very sick, with some in the hospital and some not making it out of the hospital. And they talk about how to stay safe.
This virus is serious. So many lives have been affected by the virus.
The news says the vaccine can protect us, but I heard that some people get sick afterwards for a few days and they can't work.
That can happen, but I worry more about getting sick and then passing the virus on to your dad and uncle, who could get very sick. So yeah, I wouldn't want to put that on anybody.
I feel for the people, you know, got very sick from COVID and were in the hospital on ventilators where no one could visit them, and they passed away alone.
Me too. So sad.
Rose takes care of her husband who has diabetes and lung disease, and her uncle who has heart problems. If they get sick with COVID, they could end up hospitalized, like many elders have in the community. Rose is trying to help the family make a decision to get the vaccine as soon as it is available.
I'll get the vaccine, you know, because I take care of your dad and uncle. I don't want a chance of getting them sick. I don't want you to get sick either.
Dad, I'm concerned about you. With all your health problems, you should get the vaccine too.
I don't want to get sick from COVID, but I am scared that the vaccine would make me sick.
Honey, we all need it. I've been researching, and we can get it when we go and visit the family on the res. It'll be a great opportunity to connect with our family and get protected.
Okay, you're right.
You're right.
And this is how Rose, her spouse, and son drive 300 miles to the reservation to meet family and get the COVID vaccine. The morning after the vaccine, the family shares how they are feeling.
I'm feeling good, not sick at all. I am so relieved.
Mom, I'm feeling sick.
Well, just go lay down and rest. It's normal. It means the vaccine is working.
No, Mom. I think I got bit by a spider.
Okay, let me see. Oh my God, your arm is very swollen. When did this happen?
Rose rushes her son to the clinic for the doctor to examine him.
Hi, how are you doing? How can I help you today?
My son's arm is very swollen. I'm afraid. Is this normal?
When did you notice your arm swollen? Does it hurt?
I did not feel well, and then about 3 hours after the shot, my arm became red, swollen, and itchy like this.
This looks like an allergic reaction. It is a known side effect from the vaccine, and you will improve. Just take this allergy medicine, rest, and you will get better. This is not a severe allergic reaction, like with any severe reactions to medicines or peanuts or bee stings. People have more problems than this. They have more swelling in their bodies, including in their throats, and then they have trouble breathing.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I'm relieved. I had some fever and chills throughout the night, but those went away. Should we be concerned about getting the next COVID vaccine?
Well, since this reaction is not severe, and yours was a common side effect of the vaccine, yes, you can all get the other COVID vaccines.
Thank you. I feel so much better.
Over the next day, Rose monitors her son's reaction to the vaccine.
Let me see your arm.
It feels better.
All right. This does look much better. The doctor was right.
Rose is happy to see her son improve. With her family, she discusses the doctor's recommendation and decides to get subsequent vaccinations to ensure the safety of her loved ones and her community. Several years have passed, and now Rose is volunteering at a community kitchen again. She and coworkers are talking at the community kitchen and discussing the new yearly COVID-19 vaccine starting fall 2023.
So will you be getting the new COVID-19 vaccine?
Sure. Me and my family just got it. My doctor said the virus continues to change, and so the new vaccine helps us to respond to the current virus. Just like yearly flu shots, we'll be getting yearly COVID shots. Wouldn't it be terrible after all this time you got sick with COVID-19 and were hospitalized?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we could also get long COVID. After the infection, some people cannot taste or smell. And then we couldn't enjoy our food in the community kitchen. Or worse, some people get very tired and have heart troubles. I think you should think about getting the vaccine. It's not just for you, but for the safety of our community.
But I'm just worried about getting the shot, the side effects and all.
Hey, listen. I was worried too, but I spoke to my doctor and checked the information before making a decision. Even with our family having some side effects, it was a good decision. I suggest that you do it too. I personally want to live longer and healthier. You know, I want to be there for my grandbabies because COVID sickness has been killing a lot of our people, and the vaccination helps to protect us.
Rose is now spreading the word about how the 2023 fall COVID vaccination can help keep your family and yourself safe.
The creation of this story is a collaboration between the Federally Qualified Urban Health Network, Minnesota Department of Health, Insulamo Partnership for Health and Wellness, with funding from the Minnesota Department of Health, COVID-19 Community Engagement and Diverse Media Grant.
Wow, that was awesome. Well, the production value is just crazy. Where can other people listen to this again? Where are these stored?
Well, we've got them. We're just in the process of distributing them widely in the community. So we're going to be putting up posters with QR codes where in the clinics, so people would be able to use their smartphones with a QR code and listen to them on their phones while they're waiting for appointments. We'll be sharing them in the clinics through the audio systems there. We'll be sharing them on social media as well, and just hope to get them out kind of organically in the community. And then we're working with other radio partners like you to share them in the community. So hopefully we'll just start getting them out, and really appreciate your inviting us on to start sharing these stories.
Yeah, they're great stories. And what I like is that we have such a short memory, and it's good to relive a lot of this stuff. We forget we didn't have vaccines at one time. And so it's very important. And I would suggest, too, to upload these all on PRX, too, so people all over Turtle Island can use these.
Great. I would love to do that.
Yeah, that's a free thing. And I think the only bugaboo that I have is always trying. I didn't even know there was such a file as an MP2, but you have to upload it as an MP2 to there. But it's free. Oh, and then if people get out there and you are looking for stuff like this to play, but also that would be
great
for our listeners out there, too. And then the other stations, because we're on 20 other stations across the country, that could download these stories and play them during their show.
I would love your expertise. This is a new project for me. I've been in communications for 20 plus years, and the insight and innovation of the Salamo team.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal.
Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It's been 6 months since Hamas launched an